Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who is going to talk about a topic that we've talked a little bit about, but not in this specific area. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert at.
Hi, my name is Alicia Fessel, and I guess I'm an expert on cats.
Fantastic. Yeah, as I mentioned, we've discussed cats a couple times on the podcast so far, so I feel like I've become even more of an expert as time has progressed. My expertise more focused on kittens and then diabetic cats as opposed to cats in general. But from what I understand about cats, there are different breeds of cats that each have their own personalities. So like you have like tuxedo cats. Tuxedo, you would think initially like, oh, that's probably a cat that's very refined, that has an acquired palate, but also that is a cat that is ready to hunt at any time. Like they can really be sleek and like sneaky if they want to be, but also extremely lazy whenever they want to be. Then you have orange cats. Orange cats have a tendency to skew towards masculine ideologies in terms of what type of cat they are. I think that a lot of Egyptian cats, people expect them to be these black cats walking across. That's just because they didn't have a lot of pigments that they could use that have stood the test of time. Most of the cats in Egypt were actually orange tabby cats. Anytime you see a cat in Egyptian folklore or hieroglyphics or anything like that, it's supposed to be intended to be kind of a stripy orange cat, kind of like a sun, if that makes sense, very bright and vibrant. Oh. And a lot of people don't know this about cats. They have a tendency with their food. They'll play with their food if they catch something. But really what that is they're trying to communicate with their food. They don't necessarily, you know, they catch a mouse, they catch a rat or something like that, they catch a bug. They're legitimately trying to communicate like, hey, why aren't you transforming back into your normal state as a cat? Because this is another thing that a lot of people don't realize. A lot of cats have this predisposition. They see a cat in the mirror, see themselves in a mirror. They think that's another cat in the house. And so anytime they find an animal that's smaller than them, they assume that it is this cat that they've seen in the mirror, and they're trying to get it to transform back into their playmate or this mirror cat, so to speak. And so I think that a lot of people are like, oh, they're playing with their food. No, they're just trying to get them to transform back. And a lot of cats will bring different energies into a home. A lot of people, especially as we age, cat is a very good pet to have because the maintenance and the upkeep of a cat is generally easier to deal with than like a dog or like a bird or iguana or other type, even fish for that matter. And they're very independent animals. And that doesn't mean that they can't go out on like walks or things of that nature. It's a very vibrant business, the cat walking business, the harness business. A lot of people don't know this, but the harness that has become popular with dogs actually developed first for cats. And so these people that very avant-garde, very pushing the boundaries of what is normal with pets, like, why can't I take my cat out and see the park? Why can't I let them roam around and have fun? And then the dog people are like, well, if you're going to do that, my dog can do that. I just have to make it a little bit bigger. It's got heart. It's got the tassels or, you know, the harness ties or whatever it is. I'm not entirely sure. The brackets, the typically wooden brackets, I think, were some of the first harnesses. And then they were like, oh, we should probably just use like Velcro. They're like, that's a little bit too cumbersome. And Velcro, an amazing invention. But yeah, so I mean, I think that a lot of the advancement in pets in general has its connection to these people trying to find new ways to care for their cats, to spend more time with their cats, and explore the world with their cats. And I think that that's a beautiful thing that people really should be appreciative of, because I think we have a tendency to put the pet debate of cats versus dogs or cats versus anything else, when really it's like, oh, it's all kind of working together of like, you can go with what you want, go with the thing that makes the most sense for your habitation. Mm-hmm. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
There were a few things that I had not heard before, but I think you've done a fair amount of research.
Okay.
I think a little bit.
Okay. And what is your background with cats? When did you first find yourself drawn to cats?
Well, so I had always wanted a cat as a child, but my mother and my brother were both very allergic. Mm-hmm. So we kind of accidentally ended up with a cat because outdoor cats can often get FIV, which is sort of the cat version of HIV. Mm-hmm. And so we had a cat when I was in high school that was outside and ended up getting in a fight, and we took him to the vet, and it turns out he had FIV. So the responsible thing to do would be to take him indoors. So he lived in our house. This is when mm-hmm. I was in high school. So he lived in our house for probably 10 years after that with my mother and my brother, horribly allergic. So she kind of lived on Benadryl every single day. And that was my introduction to a cat. And then, of course, I became a crazy cat lady after that.
Right. I mean, once they find a way in, it's kind of hard to detach yourself from that. I know people that are horribly allergic, but they just are mainlining Benadryl every day to just keep up with these, with their, I wouldn't say it's an addiction to cats, but this love and support that they get from them.
It's incomparable. And I've actually heard recently, I've not verified this, but I have heard that there are now shots that you can get, like allergy shots, that is sort of like exposure therapy. So you would continue sort of what we do with children to prevent a peanut allergy. Okay. You would give, I guess, small doses of cat allergen to a person, and then over time they would not be allergic anymore. So that could be like just game changing for people.
Absolutely. I think some cats try and inoculate you if you just meet them by their grooming practices. I think that that's probably mm-hmm. something that they're trying pretty consistently to do just naturally of like, oh, hi, new human. I'm going to taste your skin or your what have you. One of these things that a lot of people don't realize is that cats, if correct me if I'm wrong, but they can't taste sweet things. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so my understanding is that when you're really sweaty or like when you're crying, having like an emotional reaction to something, a cat will often like come up and like try to provide empathy. But some people believe that that might actually just be the cat trying to get the salty tears. Is there any truth to that? Or is that just somebody trying to disparage cats?
It depends on the cat, I think, because some okay. cats are very empathetic, but then others are just trying to like get a fix, I think.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that there's I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of the fact that the cats are not a homogenous animal. Their personalities are different from yeah. each one. Have you had any cats that have been especially problematic or particularly lazy, or like have they had like distinctly different personalities?
They have. And I've had a fair amount of different breeds of cats. So historically, I had just what we would call domestic short hair cats, just your run of the mill cats. I had a tabby, I had a black one. And then just recently, I became acquainted with tuxedos, which are okay. really cute and interesting. And then I had my mind blown when I had a cat show up outside who I later found out is this breed called Nebelung, which is a very distinctive look. So if you see a picture of a Nebelung cat, it will look exactly like my cat and every other Nebelung. It's kind of like the long-haired Russian blue. So it's okay. really interesting. Apparently, Nebelung in German means creature of the mist, and it's this grayish, bluish black with a tiny bit of black thrown in there. So it's a really interesting cat. Mm-hmm. And then this cat who showed up outside gave birth to a rag doll, So it's just really interesting. The rag doll is a big fluffy cat, and they can have, yeah, different markings that if you saw it, you might call it Siamese. It's kind of like a long-haired Siamese. So it's a seal point cat that I have, which is just a whole nother like mind-blowing type that I had never experienced before.
Oh, that's wild. I can imagine that's, I mean, I don't know if you're taking the cat out necessarily very often, but posting pictures online, I bet people get probably pretty excited seeing them and being like, oh, this is kind of not necessarily a new cat that they've seen, but like an interesting, like, oh, I don't see this kind of cat every day.
Yeah, very distinctive. And what I found out when we took Mama in, when we took our Nabalong inside, because she was feral, is that apparently cats can get pregnant multiple times during one pregnancy, I guess. So they can have multiple fathers in one litter.
Oh, wow. That's...
I had no idea.
That's... I mean, that's just the beauty of evolution, if I've ever heard it. That's an adaptation I had never heard before.
Right. Because she had a litter that was black, which makes sense because historically that's part of her coloring. And there was a black cat hanging around the neighborhood that we think is the deadbeat dad. Mm-hmm. And so when these couple black cats popped out and then a white one, I was like, okay, where did this come from? And then it became very clear it had that sort of Siamese look. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea where this came from. So it was clearly another father.
That's so shocking that they could do that. How many cats were in that litter?
There were, let's see, so there were three in the litter.
Okay.
And then we actually, there was a person who was looking for someone to take in a five-day-old cat who had somehow lost his mama. Mm-hmm. And we threw that cat in with the litter, and our girl totally took to him and didn't know the difference.
Oh, that's great. I'm that makes me really happy that sort of thing would work out. That's wonderful. Have you done anything in terms with advocacy or trying to inform people, like with your family, even with their allergies or what have you, of like trying to like break people's preconceived notions of what it's like to raise a cat or have a cat in your family?
Well, I'm kind of not a good person to take in cats anymore because they're all foster fails for me.
I see.
Every time I try to foster one, I end up keeping it. And historically, the cats we've taken in, we've ended up always giving one or two to family members who said they didn't like cats, but that's what they always say in the beginning.
Right. Yeah. You kind of break them down as they get more exposed to them.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, and they love their cats now. So these are people who have never had a cat, who are just completely in love with them. So it's so nice. And then of course we get to keep it in the family.
Yeah, that makes, and then you get to see them too every so often, even if it's just pictures or going over for an event or something like that. It's like, oh, hey, there's that cat that I used to hang out with. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but I would tell a person who has not had a cat, there are certain breeds that can be known to be sort of problematic. Maybe they get a bad rap, but people say tortoiseshells, what we call torties, are crazy.
Okay.
They're a little more high maintenance. They are actually almost all female. That's a really interesting thing. Calicos as well are almost all female. So that's a really, really neat thing. Rag dolls are named rag doll because they just kind of flop in your arms. They're very easy. And of course, just the domestic short hairs are pretty normal, or a long hair cat, they're pretty normal. Persian cats, what I call smushy nose cats, you would know it if you saw it. Mm-hmm. That type of cat tends to have some health problems and they live shorter lives. So that's something to think about.
Right. Yeah. That's always having an open and honest conversation when you're looking to get a cat and like what type of life you can provide for them, I think is something that people don't necessarily always consider doing before they take in an animal.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I always recommend people get one from a shelter. There are so many out there that need homes. I say that with dogs too. If you can, try to just get them from a shelter. They are just wonderful cats. They need homes, and they're so appreciative just to not be locked up in a cage anymore.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like this has rounded out my knowledge of cats significantly more than what we had done previously. I really appreciate it. If people wanted to learn more about you or more about cats or raising cats or anything like that, what would you recommend? Where should they look?
I think the internet's full of a lot of information. One thing that I would plug is there is a group on Facebook that has vets, actual licensed doctors, who will go on and kind of help people with questions, specifically if you're having like a health issue. And I think you could probably put that in the show notes. So
absolutely.
I can give you that. Yeah, I can give you that. A website, but that's for a lot of people that can't afford help and may have just like kind of a quick question. There are doctors who will go on there and actually give some answers, some real answers.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a absolutely fantastic rest of your day, and all the cats in your life have just everything they could want and more. They just have beautiful days as well. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining.